Good morning. You can leave the lights like this for now. I'm not here very long for the first opening. Or you can turn them on too, that works. Okay. So this morning is going to be a little bit different. Allow me to sit, if you would, thank you. I'm here in God's strength this morning. I am praying that I don't cough too much. I have a constant tickle. It's just always there, and so I'm slightly coughing almost always. So I have a couple Tic Tacs in my pockets, and we'll see how far we get. This morning, I asked that the worship team have a little more of a role. It's kind of Luke's idea to help out to make sure that I could be able to do this, and so I have a reading this morning. You can turn into Hebrews chapter 2. So I have a reading this morning, and then I will get down and the worship team will have a set of five songs or so. And then I'll come up for a devotional, and I have about four pages. Often I'll have 10 for a sermon, so it'll be shorter this morning. And I'll have you can call it devotional if you like. And then the worship team will then come up and close us out with another four songs. And I'm sorry I forgot to mention to you this morning, Dave, to the choristers. So the worship team will end our time and Lowell will have a closing prayer for us to dismiss this morning. So that's kind of the way the service is going to go. And let's open in prayer again this morning. Dear God, thank you that we can come together as a body here. We thank you for the way that you provide. Pray that you would bless this time, that we would be drawn near to you, and that your spirit would be evident and present here. In Jesus' name, amen. And just also to let you know, I won't stand out there. I'm feeling really well, but I still take naps. So, and my wife is feeling well, but she sleeps the mornings away still. So just does not have any strength, but we are so thankful our son did not get it. That was such a blessing that he could be there and help us get groceries and all that kind of stuff. So we're making it through. But anyhow, God does provide. The message here, I guess the title is God is in control, and then it is our response to walk with him, for he is in control. So let's read together Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the words spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Insomuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And that he himself has suffered, being tempted, is able to aid those who are tempted. Amen. And this is our God, and he is in control, and he walks with us right here. Right here, he walks with us. He does not leave us nor forsake us, for he knows the road that we must walk because he walked it too. And so let's stand and sing his praises this morning. We have established who God is, and we have sung his praises, and now we need to look at ourselves. What is our responsibility? And you could turn with me to Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. Galatians 5, starting in verse 16. I do want to say this morning, me not standing in line is strictly for my, pull it down a little bit. Is that better? Okay, good. Me not standing in line this morning is not anything for you to worry about. It's just my own strength. I am 8 or 9 days free of all symptoms, so I feel very safe to be here. I'm just still working on my strength in case someone wondered. But anyhow, Galatians 5, 16, starting in verse 16. I say then, this is Paul talking to the Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? Almost simple. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. I guess that's not real simple. It's an action. It's an ongoing action. It's walking in the Spirit is a continuum of progress. It's not a one-time thought or decision. It's something that you continue in, walking in the Spirit. It's not arriving in the Spirit. It's walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not have the lust of the flesh. No, it doesn't say that. Read it. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is going to be there. You are not going to get a pass around the lust of the flesh. But when you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do not think that once you become a Christian, all your worldly thoughts are gone. I'm so sorry, but it doesn't work that way. When you become a Christian and you walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to dwell in you, then the thoughts of the flesh become fleeting thoughts. The Spirit gives you the ability to not dwell on the lust of the flesh. That's walking in the Spirit. It will be there, but when we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit allows us to make those fleeting thoughts. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Brothers and sisters, this is our goal, to be led by the Spirit of God. To be led by a still, small voice takes effort. It takes developing an ear for listening to God's quiet, still voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you want to know who's listening to their flesh? How can you tell if someone is following their flesh? Did you know that it's evident? Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murderers, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And right now, brothers and sisters, it is so easy to get wrapped up in those things. Wow, it's easy. Outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies. That's tough. What a sad list, what a solemn warning, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There's not a way around this list. If these are the things you're practicing, you're listening to the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. Do you want to know what listening to the Spirit of God looks like? That too is evident. What does it look like to walk in the Spirit of God? Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There is a list for us to live by. And it is so missing in our culture today. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is how we walk, and this is the evidence of walking in the Spirit. In verse 24, I mean, we know that we're not to fulfill the lust of the flesh, but in case you think you're doing okay, verse 24 reminds us again that this is a walk and it's not something to be accomplished or checked off. God says to crucify the flesh, kill it, nail it down, suffocate it. This is a strong action. This takes work. To crucify the flesh, you need to first recognize where your weakness is. And then you need to get a hold of it. And then you need to tie it down. And then you need to nail it to the cross. I have an exercise for your mind's eye this morning. Please close your eyes. Now, get a hold of your sin. You know the one. Get a hold of it. Hold it down on the cross. Tie it if you have to first. Now get the hammer and the nails and nail your sin to the cross. Now go to the top end of the cross and lift it up. And it takes your effort and energy and lift it. And grab hold of it and lift it in place until it slams down into the hole carved in the rock so that it stands. And now step back and look through the sunshine at your sin. Wait, your sin's not on the cross. That's Jesus. Quick, grab the cross. Lift it out. Lay it down. Get Jesus off the cross. I'm so sorry. Apologize to Jesus. Now, make sure this time that you get your sin and that you pick it up and that you lay it on the cross and you know this is your sin and you take your hands and this time you make sure you nail it to the cross and you tie it and you lift up the cross and you step back again through the sunshine. No, there's Jesus again. You can open your eyes. That's what he did. He who knew no sin took our sin upon himself onto that cross. Brothers and sisters, what a deterrent for sin. It's when you nail your sin to the cross and you look at it, you see Jesus every time. That's what he did. He took your sin. Verse 25, Paul continues, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I hadn't seen this before, and it was exciting for me, but Paul gives us a list. How do you walk in the Spirit? He actually writes it down for us and gives us a list. The first thing on the list, number one, is three things you don't do. The first thing you do when you walk in the Spirit, the number one thing, there are three things you don't do. Verse 26, let us not become conceited. Conceited means to excessively proud of oneself. Let us not become conceited. Let us also not provoke one another. And let us not envy one another. These are the three things that you do not do first as you begin this journey to walk in the Spirit. And the second thing you do on the list of how to walk in the Spirit, the second thing is how to help a brother. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. How do we walk in the Spirit? He tells us how. First, we regard our own, making sure that we don't stumble, that we don't get conceited, that we don't provoke another, that we don't envy another, and then we help a brother. And the third thing to help to walk in the Spirit is found in verse 2. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. How do you walk in the Spirit? You bear one another's burdens. And brothers and sisters, when we do that, when we bear one another's burdens, we fulfill the law of Christ. And the fourth thing we do is we examine our own work. Verse 3, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own load. And the fourth thing on the list of how to walk in the Spirit is to examine your own work. Do not get caught up in examining someone else's works. You will be upset either at yourself or them. You cannot examine someone else's work and not be disappointed, either in yourself or in what they've done. Examine your own works. This is what he calls us to. Examine your own works. And the fifth thing I'm not going to expound upon, but it's here, so I'll read it. The fifth thing on how to walk in the Spirit is let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And the sixth thing is the law of sowing, found in verse 7. The sixth thing on how to walk in the Spirit is found in verse 7 of Galatians 6. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. The sixth list on how to walk in the Spirit is the law of sowing. Did you know the law of sowing and reaping predates time? Genesis 1, you can turn with me if you wish. Genesis 1, verse 11. And then God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So evening and morning was the third day. And from then on, every time you plant grass seed, you get grass. And every time you plant an acorn, you get an oak tree. You cannot plant corn and get wheat. Never happened. Ever since day three, it's never happened. What you plant is what you sow from day three. Day 4, verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. Here time was made. And let them be for the lights and the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light to the earth and to rule over the day and rule over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And so evening and morning were the fourth day. Brothers and sisters, the law of sowing and reaping predates time. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In verse 9, we have the seventh thing on the list of how to walk in the Spirit. And the seventh thing is not to grow weary while doing good. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, we have opportunity. And let us do, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. That's the number seven and the last one on the list of how to walk in the Spirit. Let us not grow weary while doing good. It's a very weary time to do good right now. It's a very difficult time to do good in society. It feels so much better to be right. It doesn't say to be right. Says to do good. And therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. The worship team can come forward. Let's pray. Dear God, we again are so thankful for your word. God, it is alive and it is real and it ministers to our hearts even today in 2021. God, you've given us direction today through your word. You've led us on a path through your word that lays down the steps that enables us to walk in your Spirit in this life, God. Give us the strength to complete the task that we've been given this morning. And God, help us to understand the magnitude of what Christ has done for us, in that it was our sin that held him on that cross. God, we are so humbled again by your sacrifice for us. May it cause us to walk even more and desire to even walk closer with you, God. Help us to crucify our flesh. God, again, we are grateful for the way that you lead us and for the way that you speak to us. God, I pray for your word as it settles in the hearts of the folks here, that it would take root, that it would grow, that you would be honored and glorified in the things that are done by the people who have heard your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may stand and sing in response.